We begin this new year, and it's 2015, and people all around have made resolutions. Are you guys excited about this? You like resolutions? I'm going to ask, how many of you made New Year's resolutions? Like two people? Just you guys? That's it, really? Well, all the rest of you guys can leave. Get out of here. No, but all around are resolutions, and I'm not going to trash resolutions at all. I actually told TJ I kind of made my own this morning resolution. Last year, I wore jeans about maybe 25% of the time. This year, I'm going to wear jeans about 75% of the time. I'm serious. That's my resolution for this year. And part of that is because we tell people all the time, it doesn't matter what you wear to church, and then they come to church and the pastor's wearing a suit. And I'm like, you know what? It really doesn't matter what you wear. You might be surprised one day what I wear to church. But it's not going to be anything inappropriate. I promise you that. But resolutions. Resolutions are good, or rather they can be good. Resolutions can be a good thing. And, you know, around the new year, people often make them because it's a new beginning. Like January 1st, there's like something magical that happens when that ball drops, and then an hour later, it's actually New Year's in Illinois. There's something amazing about that because you get this fresh start. You know, you get this fresh start. It's a new year. And, you know, especially if the previous year kind of stunk for you, or maybe it just didn't go as you expected. It's like January 1st starts, and it's like, all right, it's a new year. I kind of get a redo. And so resolutions are good. But here's my issue with resolutions. Most of the time, people that make a resolution have little to no chance of keeping it. And for many of you, that's probably why you don't make them anymore. You're like, you know what? I'm not for the 40, well, most of you aren't old enough to say that. I'm not for the fourth consecutive year going to say, I'm going to start exercising every day and I'm going to start eating healthy every day. Okay? I've failed year after year after year, like I give up. I'm not even wasting my time. Okay, people that say they have a resolution many times don't keep them. And it's not even that they're not serious about change. They might really be serious, but there comes a point where the desire fades, right? There's a comes a point where you give up, you forget about it, you kind of move on. And here's my tip for that. If you're making a resolution because it's a new year, you will fail. If you're making a resolution because it's January 1st, you will fail. And this is how I know that. Because your motive for making a resolution is wrong. Your motive is dead wrong. It's not going to work. And if you're motivated to make a resolution because it's a new day on a calendar, then what is going to happen when January 15th rolls around? What's going to happen when February 1st rolls around, February 2nd, February 3rd? Listen, it's not a new day on a calendar anymore. Your motivation is wrong. See, a resolution is this. A resolution is to have resolve. It's to come to a definite or earnest decision about something. It's a decision or a determination. So it's basically making a firm decision to do something. So that's what a resolution is. But the motivation behind the resolution is what's important. There has to be motivation. Resolution is a step. And this is what it's a step toward, which is mostly what I'm going to focus on today. Resolution is a step toward fulfilling vision. It's a step. It's determining that you're going to do something. Well, what are you going to do? And why are you going to do that? That's the vision. That's seeing something that you would like to see changed. That is, a vision is an imaginative conception or anticipation, basically picturing things the way that they may become. It's change. And so if you want to lose weight because it's a new year, good luck with that. I'm just saying, good luck with it. If you succeed, it's by sheer willpower and probably a little bit of luck. But if you want to lose weight because it's a new year, good luck with that. But now if you want to picture yourself fitting into that favorite pair of jeans, and you don't stuff them in a box and put them in the attic, okay? But you want to picture yourself fitting into those jeans that you love and you want to picture yourself wearing the clothes that you're outgrowing, that you don't want to buy new clothes because you like the old ones, now you have a vision. Now it's like, I can see myself wearing those jeans again. Now you have some motivation to keep going, to actually see that resolution carry out. If you want to exercise because it's a new year, again, good luck. It's not going to last. But if you want to exercise because I remember when I was in good shape and I felt good. Like, I felt like, you know, I just walked around and I felt good. I wasn't huffing and puffing like just walking to the bathroom. Okay, I'm kind of like that sometimes. I get tired just walking to the bathroom. But it's because I'm out of shape. And I remember when I was in shape, I remember how I felt. And if I can keep that at the forefront of my mind, if I have that vision of me being healthy and remembering how I felt, now I have motivation to keep exercising. If you want to save money, if you want to invest money, listen, you have to have vision of what that money's going to become. It's just like when we give tithes and we give offering. If you want to give and have a vision of what God can do with those finances, it makes you a lot more motivated to give. If you want to have a vision of what your retirement would look like 20 years down the road, now you have motivation to put into a retirement because there's no immediate return. As a matter of fact, there's immediate penalties if you try to take it back out, right? So the motivation is the vision. I see when I retire, I'm going to have X if I keep on this projected path. The vision gives us motivation. If we want to read the Bible every day because it's a new year, good luck with that. You're not going to do it. You're not going to read the Bible every day because you started a new plan on January 1st. If you want to read the Bible because you can picture how the Word of God is going to change your life, listen, if you want to picture how the Word of God will change your life, now that's a vision. And because of that division, you can have resolve to read the Bible every day. You have a reason to be motivated. Now that's why I read the Bible, because I expect God to impact my life. I don't read it because it's an obligation. And so vision should be this driving motivation behind resolution, not the day of the year. So if you have a real serious vision of what you hope to see happen, then your resolution can mean something. If you don't have a serious vision and you just make resolutions and there's no vision, you will fail. So today, if this is you, I want you to pray and ask God, give me vision. Like, give me vision. Show me how I can have vision, because vision and resolve, they go together. Where there's no vision, the resolution perishes. That's kind of biblical. Where there's no vision, the resolution perishes. And so I want to look at vision and resolve this morning. And just like you need vision to see the New Year's resolutions accomplished, we need vision in our personal lives, but we also need vision in our church. So this is kind of my vision casting message for the year as well. But we need to be determined, but it doesn't do us any good to be determined if we don't have the vision. Vision not being our determination means that the resolve won't last. So Proverbs 29:18, those of you that know this verse knew exactly where I was going, says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, he is happy. Happy is he. So this verse shows us right here, biblical vision and biblical resolution, biblical resolve. So on one hand, you have the people who perish, and on the other hand, you have the people who are happy, which is blessed, happy or blessed. And this word perish, this is what it means in the original Hebrew. It means to ignore, to let alone, to avoid, to neglect. So without vision or direction, a resolution is ignored. It's avoided, it's neglected, it's not accomplished. This is the Word of God. It's what it's telling us. Without vision, your resolution will be avoided, neglected. It will not be accomplished. And no one is happy or blessed when they fail, right? I mean, have you ever been happy or blessed when you failed at something? Because I sure haven't, never, not once in my life. And I've never made a resolution that come February 1st, I was like, man, that's awesome that I didn't do that. You know, I exercised for like 3 days, and then I was going to do it again, and I didn't. It's so awesome I did it for those 3 days, and I failed. You know, nobody ever thinks like that. How many of you have ever been just ecstatic, like just off the charts, excited when you realized that you have ignored, you've avoided, and you've neglected your resolution and did not accomplish it? Nobody. Nobody, because he who doesn't have vision perishes. So how do we end up as those that are happy and those that are blessed? Because that's where I want to be. And so first we have to understand vision. We have to understand what is vision. And I said earlier that it's this imaginative conception, it's anticipation, picturing things as though they could come to be. And that's what our English word for vision is. But I'm going to go a little bit different direction here, similar but different. And this verse we just read, Proverbs 29:18, the word vision indicates divine communication. It's hearing from God. When people do not hear from God, they perish. That's what that verse is saying. If you look in, I have the King James here. I believe in New King James even. I believe it says Revelation, if there's no revelation. So it's hearing from God. Our vision needs to be a God vision, right? Just as Jesus said, not your will be done, or not my will be done, but yours, right? He told the Father that as he was, you know, praying about taking the cup, drinking of the cup. But it's not about our will, it's about the Father's will. And Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The result of the transformation of our mind is that we're able to please God by doing his will. That's a vision. That's vision of what's his will. If our mind's not transformed to believe that God's will is what's best for us, then we don't even care about what God is speaking. You realize that? If you don't really believe that God's will is best for you, then you don't care if he's speaking. That's truth. You won't care. How many of you have ever been in a work environment where maybe you were over somebody and you're trying to tell them this is how we need to do something? Like you have a vision for this project or this, you know, just any kind of idea. I have a vision for it. But if you can't get the other people involved to buy in and believe that your vision is what's best, they will not do it. They won't. I've managed 50 people and had people that just straight up didn't believe in the vision and they just didn't do it. And after not too long, they didn't have an opportunity to not do it anymore. But you have that with children too. Sometimes we say like, this is what we want to see done. This is the way I want it done. And they have to buy into that or they're not going to do it that way, right? Okay, so it's the same way with God. He has this vision. He speaks to us. He shows us these things. We have to buy in to the fact that his will is perfect, that his will is best, or we're not going to do it. We're not even going to listen. We're going to tune him out. So you have to believe the vision, and you have to buy in completely. If you don't buy in completely, it doesn't matter how much resolve you have. It doesn't matter how determined you are to work out. If you don't have a vision for that result, what you're projecting to do, you're going to flame out at some point. If serving the Lord, if all we do is, I'm going to serve, I'm going to serve, I'm going to serve, and you have no vision for what you're serving for, you're going to flame out. It's going to be over before you know it. So we have to buy in. And so vision is important because it gives us that destination. It shows us where we're to go, and we can plan to get there using determination. So see, it does take a two-part. God gives the vision. We have the resolve. We're the ones that have to be dedicated. Like, I'm going to do what I have to do to fulfill this vision. But God gives the vision. And vision is modeled throughout Scripture. And you see, God's people continuously, they see needs around them. They know the present state. They desire a greater future. So they seek the will of God. You see it all through the prophets. They're always seeking the will of God, seeking wisdom. And I believe that we here in this church, in our individual lives and as a church, I believe that we have a much greater future than what our present state is. Do you believe that? We have a much greater future than what our present state is. And I wish he was here today, but I was texting with Dave Cornwell the other day, and he just told me that, you know, God's got something great coming down the road for me. That's all he knows, that God's got something great. And I was like, amen. We ought to all think that way. Really, we ought to all think God has something great coming down the road for me, because he does. But we have to buy into that vision. And so I believe that God has a specific plan for this body of believers. And, you know, it takes each one of us, you know, having resolve to play our part, to do what we're gifted at, what he's entrusted into us, our own specific part that is just for us. And so it starts with prayer. Starts with prayer. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you. Call to me and I will answer you. Now that's pretty amazing. God's going to answer you if you call to him. And not just is he going to answer you, but he's going to show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Things that you do. How many of you, every time that you pray, you want God to tell you things that you do know? Chirp, chirp, chirp. How many of you tell God things that you do know, or if you want him to tell you things that you do know? God wants to tell us things that we don't know. He wants to give you vision. That's what he's telling you. When he wants to tell you things that you don't know, he wants to give you vision. We need God's plan, because vision gets us to focus on God's plan instead of our own plan. Vision helps us to focus on God's plan instead of our own plan. And a lot of times we want God's plan to be our plan. Okay? I know you guys can relate to that. You want God's plan to be your plan. I mean, you should probably all be saying amen, because you probably all can fit into that boat. But we want God's plan to be our plan. We want his will to come into alignment with our will. But listen, that's not the way that God works. God says to pray, and he will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Okay? He doesn't say, pray to me and I will confirm all the hopes and dreams and visions that you have and I'll make them work. No, he says, I'll tell you things that are great and mighty that you do not know. God wants to tell us his plans because he wants to give us vision. He wants to give us hope. He wants to give us something that we can use that resolve to see accomplished in our lives. Amen? So, I believe that this is for you personally today, but as well as how you can serve the church, God's church. And we have to know the vision. We have to know God's vision. So, the majority of this is going to be focused on this house, what I believe God's vision is, what he spoke to the leaders as the vision of the house. And we need to know that what the church is striving for, we need to know what the goals are, we need to know what the agenda is, because we have to support the same vision. Now, this is where you guys come in. I do believe that God speaks to each and every one of us. I do believe that he speaks to the leadership of a house about the vision of a house. But that doesn't mean that you guys don't have ideas. It doesn't mean you guys don't have visions that God's given you that he didn't give me, that he hasn't given Ben, that he hasn't given Jason. It doesn't mean that you guys are irrelevant because God's told us the vision and you guys just do what we say. That's not the way it works. Now, I believe that God, he founds the vision through the leaders, but then it's how do we fulfill this vision? How do we, if we're missing the target, how do we get back on target? Okay, so we got to know the agenda, because we have to support the vision. We got to be on the same page. The vision gives us the common target. Because if you know, without a target, You miss every time, right? No matter what you're aiming for, you will miss every time if there's no target. So what has God called us to do? And if you have a bulletin, our mission and vision are right on the back of that. But our mission is this. Our mission is making disciples for God's glory and for his kingdom. Now that's the mission. The vision is what helps us fulfill that mission. So we're to make disciples because it's what Jesus commanded us to do. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, it says, "And Jesus came to them, spoke to them, and said, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen.'" Okay, go make disciples, baptize them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey the things that I've commanded you, and I'm with you. That's awesome. If that's all you know about the gospel, if you're going to memorize a verse, memorize that one. Memorize that one, because your part's covered. Lo, I am always with you to the end of the age. So the will of God for you and for the church is to make disciples. And so often I think we confuse making disciples with we need to go and drag people from the streets in here and teach them our ways. Okay, one, it's not our ways, it's God's way is the first mistake there. The second mistake is every one of you and me, we're disciples. Right now, today, make disciples. Disciples doesn't just mean new disciples. It also means better disciples. You guys got that? It doesn't just mean go out and make new disciples. Jesus is saying also make better disciples. We are to be teaching. To disciple is to teach. That's what it means. It means to teach. We're to be teaching people the ways of Christ. It's continuous, a continuous action. And when I'm around other people that have faith in Christ, guess what I'm looking to do? Learn. I'm looking to be taught. And I shared this a long time ago in men's group. I know TJ and Jason were both there and Robbie for this. But I was like, you know what? Right here, we're all making disciples. We're all sharing with each other what God's spoken to us through the word, and we're all making disciples right now out of one another. There's no hierarchy in making disciples other than Jesus and everybody else. That's it. So we're to make disciples, better disciples. We're to teach people to walk in the ways of Christ and being like him. So that's what our mission is. But as a church, to fulfill that mission, we need vision, okay? And then to fulfill the vision, that's when we need the resolve, the determination. How do we do it? What are we going to do? But how do we fulfill that mission? It's by the vision, the will of God for this church. And, listen, our vision statement is not like I woke up with some, like, crazy dream and wrote it down and that's our vision. Our vision comes from the word of God, because what is vision? Vision is hearing from God. And the way that I know, certainly without, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that I've heard from God is by reading the scriptures. Because that's the living word of God. And there's nothing that a man or woman could say. There's nothing that God speaks through a man or woman today that is elevated higher than the word of God that we have in the Bible. Amen? Okay, so our vision statement on the back of your bulletin. The first part is, by God's grace and for his glory, we believe God has called Freedom Reigns in Christ Church to be a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit, for the Spirit of God, and a hospital for the hurting and broken. And too many churches today ignore or reject the Holy Spirit, and we certainly will not be one of those, ever. The minute we are is the minute I'm out the door. Or you guys are out the door. Somebody's out the door. That's all I know. The minute that we neglect the Holy Spirit, somebody's out the door. But we will not be one of those. We will be always welcome to the Holy Spirit moving in this place, to him moving in our hearts, moving through us. Because, as I've said all morning long, this place is about Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about the elders. It's not about any of the leadership, the worship team. It's not even about you. Okay? It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. And how does he move today? By the power of his Spirit. He said it. He's leaving and sending the helper. So we won't be one that denies the power of the Spirit. And this is the only way that we can minister to those that are hurting. You realize that? It's the only way we can minister is by the power of the Holy Spirit, because there's not one good thing that we can do on our own. Nothing. And I tell people as I, you know, counsel and talk to people about things, you know, I can tell you whatever crafty things I come up with, but the only one that can really bring you comfort is the Spirit of God. And I pray that in those meetings that happens, but it's not my words. And people, you know, be like, man, I'm really glad you told me that. No, praise God. Thank God that he led me to say that, because I don't even know what I said. I don't even remember what I told you. But we minister to people by the Holy Spirit. And so it's only by the grace of God, and in everything we do it to bring glory to the name of Jesus. So even Psalm 147 verse 3 says, he heals the brokenhearted, he binds up their wounds. That's what the Spirit of God can do in a person's life. He can heal the brokenhearted. Things that maybe people have been destroyed about for years and years and years, hurts and pains they've discovered, Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can heal those brokenhearted. He can bind up those wounds. And I've experienced that myself as well. I know there's many of you in this room that have, but you know, once we try to shut out the Holy Spirit, we can forget that. If we shut the Holy Spirit out of our lives, if you have wounds that need healed, forget it. I'm serious. They're not getting healed. They're not getting healed by anything else other than the Spirit of God. So we resolve to accomplish this as a church. And collectively, even as individuals, but collectively as a church, by prayer. First and foremost, by prayer is how we're going to be a hospital to the hurting and a dwelling place for the Spirit of God, is by prayer and also by counseling. We'll pray with people at the altars. We'll pray with people outside of service times. We'll meet with you and talk through situations. And it doesn't always have to be me. There's plenty of capable people in this place that can do these things. But this is how we resolve to fulfill this mission. And the next thing is, Freedom Reigns is committed to God-honoring worship and to preaching and teaching the unadulterated, authoritative Word of God. Amen. If you've been here very long, you realize that we're a house that we love to worship. It's part of why I don't care how long worship goes. I don't ever have a limit on that, and I never will have. But we don't put a limit on it, because I believe that it's the most important part of our service. I'm serious. Yes, I realize you don't need me for that. I'm very well aware of that. You don't want me up here for that. But so many times in churches, we have this mentality where worship prepares us for the Word. I am sure why we do it in the order we do it, otherwise we'd change it. But worship does not prepare you for the Word entirely. Okay, it can, but worship is exalting Jesus Christ. Preaching the Word is equipping the saints, and it should be exalting Jesus Christ. If it's not, we have a problem. Okay, so a sermon, a message, it's something that helps the worship. The worship doesn't help the message. Now, your heart can be prepared. Your heart can be softened during worship, during an experience, an encounter with the Lord, certainly. But it's not why we preach. We preach to exalt Jesus, to equip the saints, to teach and explain the Word of God. But worship is important. By our praise and worship, we proclaim the greatness of Jesus, the greatness. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's why You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. It's so that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's awesome. Psalm 150 verse 1 through 6 says, praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty firmament, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness, praise him with the sound of a trumpet. We need to get a trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Listen, that's why we have loud worship. I'm serious. That's why. We're to praise him with everything that we have, every instrument, everything that we have, with our entire being. We're to praise him. We praise him because he's worthy, and as we sang about, because he's holy. It's about Jesus. That's what church is about. It's about Jesus. So, and when we preach and teach, we preach and teach the truth. We preach and teach the truth. I can promise you that you're not going to get a sugar-coated message. I'm not necessarily going to skin you alive every week, but you're not going to get a sugar-coated message. I'm not going to come in here and just tell you, like, you know, everything's great. Give us your money. You'll get tenfold back. Like, I'm not going to come in here and lie to you. I'm not going to come in here and sugarcoat things. I'm going to tell you what God reveals to me through his word, and that's it. That's what I'm going to tell you. That's what I know Ben, TJ, other people at Preacher, Dylan, anybody that preaches here, they're going to preach the truth. Because we're not about preaching whatever it takes to get more people in here. We're about exalting Jesus and equipping the saints. And the only way that you get that is with truth. It's the only way that you get it. You're going to get Bible, and sometimes it might sting, but it's always going to lead you to Jesus. Who does what? Heals the brokenhearted, binds up their wounds. Okay? So if the word of God hurts you, the Spirit of God will fix it. Amen. There you go. So Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. We're not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. This is why we preach the word of God. It's the power of God, the word, and it is salvation to everyone who believes. And we resolve to accomplish this part of our vision with the worship that comes from up here. And, you know, planning and thought and prayer goes into worship, what we sing, why we sing it, and the preaching Sunday mornings as well as any kind of teaching we have, whether it's Sunday school or small groups. That's how we resolve to accomplish that part of our vision. So you need to look to yourself. Is there a way that I can help fulfill that? Now listen, as we go through this vision, not every person is going to fulfill every part of this vision. That's why God gave us a body of believers. It's why we have people that are gifted in different areas. So you don't have to be like, oh man, now I have to start teaching. Well, maybe. If God's laid it on your heart, maybe you are. But it may not be. Maybe you have something else. But we resolve to accomplish these things by preaching and by worship. And then the next thing is Freedom Reigns is committed to advancing the kingdom of God through the salvation of the sinner and seeking Holy Ghost revival. Two things there. Salvation of the sinner and seeking Holy Ghost revival. Advancing the kingdom is why we desire to have the church grow. Not numbers. It's not so that we can count, so that we can say we have X amount. It's advancing the kingdom. We don't need more givers. Well, we do, but that's not the purpose. We don't do it so we have more givers. We don't do it so we can win a popularity contest. I don't care if we're the biggest church in St. Elmo or in Fayette County or Illinois or in America. What I care about is that we're advancing the kingdom of God. And that's something that I know in your leadership, that we have like-mindedness in that, that we're all about advancing the kingdom of God. We're not about advancing the bank account, anybody's wallet. We're not about advancing just cool things. We're about advancing the kingdom of God. We set our sights on the kingdom, not on these temporary things of the world. And we have a desire, a genuine desire for Holy Ghost revival in St. Elmo. And you know why? Because I pray all the time, your kingdom come and your will be done. Okay, if his kingdom invades this world that we live in, guess what? There's going to be some revival. There's going to be some awakening. There's going to be some stirring. There's going to be some amazing things going on. And if you come to prayer meetings, you'll hear us. We pray this way. We pray for God's kingdom to come. We pray for a spirit-led reviving of our church and the church. We don't just pray for this place. I've said it before, if the Holy Ghost revival breaks out at the Methodist Church, we'll be meeting there next Sunday. I mean, I'll be meeting there tomorrow, but you guys are welcome to come anytime between tomorrow and next Sunday. But we will go wherever the Spirit of God is moving. So we have to realize that there's a difference between the church that's in the book of Acts and the church in our modern society today. You guys realize that? There's a major difference between the church in the book of Acts and the modern church today. This is why we seek revival. This is why we seek God pouring out his Spirit. And we see in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Okay, I'm going to stop right there for a minute. They were all in one accord, and they were all in one place. This is why I believe it's important for us to gather and pray. This is why we don't do everybody just pray at your home on Tuesday night at 9. The reason I believe that we should come together and pray is because right here, they were with one accord. Okay, they had one vision. They had one goal, one purpose. And they were in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, began speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amazing, like powerful moving of the Holy Spirit. And that's the part that most of the church knows. All right, that's the part that a spirit-filled church knows. Well, Pentecost, the Spirit was poured out. Okay, but what was the result of that? What was the purpose of it? What was the result? Okay, this is like the resolution and the vision thing, okay? It's like the Spirit's poured out. Now, what are we supposed to do with that? What are we supposed to accomplish? Where are we supposed to go with it? Because if we just get that part, then all we are is a bunch of flaky people. I'm serious. If all we get is God poured out his Spirit on us and we have the power of the Spirit and you can speak in tongues. Okay, if that's all you have, it's kind of like the New Year's resolution. Good luck. You're going to flame out. Yeah. Time's ticking. Okay, what about the rest? You read through the rest of chapter 2 in Acts and through chapter 3 and 4. They shared the gospel with boldness. They shared the gospel with boldness. They devoted themselves to studying the word, to fellowship, and to prayer. This is what came of this Holy Ghost revival that they had in the book of Acts, was a bold group of people that proclaimed the gospel. They studied the word of God. They prayed together. They fellowshiped together. They hung out together. And daily they were in the temple in unity. Daily. Daily, every day, they were in the temple. Now, I don't know if every person was there every day, probably not. But daily, they were meeting in the temple. They devoted themselves, and we see the result of that is that God added to the church daily. They were in the temple daily. They were boldly witnessing, they were studying the word, they were fellowshipping, they were praying, and as a result of that, which is a result of the Holy Spirit. As a result of that, God added to the temple, added to the church daily those who were being saved. And we see from that, people were being healed of sicknesses and disease. We see people that were oppressed and possessed being set free, being liberated. Signs and wonders were done. And the most important sign or most important miracle that took place was salvation by the masses. That's awesome. That's what comes from a Holy Ghost revival. That is why we are committed to seeking Holy Ghost revival. It's not so that we can be weird, okay? I know for some people, maybe like, I have no desire to seek Holy Ghost revival. I don't need to see people falling on the floor. I mean, some of you are even weirded out by the fact that someone's leg could grow back or they could get out of a wheelchair or whatever. Okay, that's all fine and dandy and that's all awesome. I pray that God would do those things. But I pray that we have Holy Ghost revival because I want to see people being saved daily. That's why. That's the purpose. And that's why the Holy Spirit came, is to give us that boldness, to equip us to be able to proclaim the gospel so that people will be saved. He didn't come so that we could speak in tongues and so that we could pray and see legs grow back and so that we could see signs and wonders and miracles. Guess what? He could have done that without us. But he came and empowered us so that we could see people being saved. So again, we resolve to accomplish this part of our vision by prayer and by preaching. Praying for revival, preaching salvation messages so that people know what it means and what it takes to be saved. Next, Freedom Reigns is committed to seeing healing and deliverance move the saint to a place of freedom from sin and victory in Jesus. Now notice this is after revival because we want the people to be saved. It's not just about seeing, you know, somebody get healed. It's about seeing the sinner saved. But too many people come to Jesus and walk around with their head down in defeat. It's one of the most heartbreaking things is to see somebody come to Christ, this newness of life, and before you know it, their head's down. They're beat up. They lost the battle. They feel like giving up. Part of this is because they need some kind of healing, some kind of deliverance in their life. And most often they may not even know it. Matthew 1:21, the angel Gabriel said to Mary, he said, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." He didn't come just to see us saved, absolutely, so that we could be forgiven and be saved. But he also came so that we could be free from those sins. He came so that when we become new, the old things, now this is what old things mean. Everything from the beginning until now is the old things would be passed away. Those things would pass away and all things would become new. When you have freedom from your sins, you have freedom from the enemy, you don't have to walk around with your head down in defeat because as I've already said today, we're victorious. We're joint heirs with Christ, and if he's seated in a place of victory, then we're seated in a place of victory. And I've shared this before, but sitting right back there is right after Dylan went to school. I was teaching junior high and high school, and it was sixth graders were in there at the time. And Adam, little Adam, was sitting next to me. And the kid was like, I said, "Okay, so if Jesus is in heaven and we are seated in heavenly places, okay, how can I be right here and yet be seated there at the same time?" And he's like, "Because you're sitting right here and you're also up there." I'm like, "That's a good answer, Adam. That's exactly right. That's how, because I'm seated here and I'm also up there because I'm in Christ. And Christ is up there." And so we need that freedom from sin. We need to be walking in victory because Jesus is in victory and we're in him. I'm right here, but I'm also up there. Okay? This is wisdom. Wisdom from like a sixth grader. So what would you have been like? 11, 12, wisdom from a 12th grader. Are you smarter than a 6th grader? That day I was not, okay? But we resolved to see these things accomplished again through prayer. Do you see a common trend? How a lot of these things we resolve to see accomplished? Prayer, prayer, prayer. That's why prayer is so important. Prayer and counseling, we believe that we can pray for people at an altar and that the Holy Spirit can heal them. Absolutely, 100% believe that. No doubt about it. Experienced it, I believe it. Okay? So, next is Freedom Reigns is committed to loving people, making disciples, and equipping them for the work of the ministry. Okay? Loving people, making disciples, equipping them for the work of the ministry. Ephesians 4, 11, 13. I should just have Dylan quote it. This is his favorite verse in the whole Bible, possibly. I don't know if it's your favorite, but it's one of them. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That means from right now until Jesus returns and takes us home, he has equipped people in the church to be able to equip saints for what? For the work of the ministry. The things that we've covered up to this point. He's equipped people to edify the body of Christ. Okay? We resolve to see this accomplished by using people's giftings that God's put in them to help them equip the saints. We do this through our different programs, through 412 high school and junior high, through breakthrough youth, men's groups, small groups, Sunday schools, any area that you serve, any area that you serve the church, we're doing this, fulfilling this part of our vision right here in this section. It's about making disciples, equipping them for the work of the ministry, and loving on people. Okay, it's important. It's such an important part of church. And guess what? It takes people. It's equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. It's not me doing the work of the ministry. It's not the elders doing the work of the ministry. It's not an evangelism team doing the work of the ministry. It's the saints. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, right now you are a saint. Say, I am a saint. I am a saint. Say it louder. I am a saint.
I am a saint.
Okay. If you are a saint, then it's your job to do the work of the ministry. Okay? If you just said that, you're not off the hook. You're on the hook now. You just declared it, that you're a saint. You have to do the work of the ministry. But there are others around you. There are programs. There are things we do here that are supposed to equip you to do so. If you don't know how to do the work of the ministry, then you need to get plugged in somewhere where you can learn how to do it. Amen? Okay. I'm getting close here. Freedom Reigns is committed to influencing the world through evangelism and local and national and international missions. We have to influence the world. You realize that? We have to influence the world. I love you guys. I like preaching to you, but we have to impact what's outside of this building or we're failing miserably. Miserably. Like, big fail. Big X. Okay, if we're not impacting the world, we are failing as a church. I'm tired of the world influencing the church. It's supposed to be the other way around. It's supposed to be the church influencing the world, but it's not what we see all around us. We see, right around us, we see things like homosexual pastors. We see things like, people who are definitely not living godly lives being in leadership in a church. Like, we see the world impacting the church all around us. It's time for the church, us, all the other churches, the church, to impact the world. We should show them, not that we're better, because you're not. If anybody here thinks that they're better than any other person here or any other person out there, then you've missed the entire point. It's all about who? Jesus. He's better. You're not. That's a fact. That is hard truth. We are not better than any other person on the earth. And that is really, really, really difficult to swallow when you consider the state of some people. When you consider, you know, somebody, a murderer who's on death row, I mean, it's real easy to be like, well, I'm obviously better than that guy. I'm not a murderer on death row. Well, did you talk negatively about somebody yesterday? Did you do a little gossip? Maybe did your eyes gaze somewhere where they shouldn't have? Did you have an impure thought, like, you want to run somebody off the road while you're driving? Hey, people have insane thoughts like that. Have you ever had a thought where you had a thought and you're like, that's creepy. Why did I think that? Like, I've had that before. Okay, stuff like that. Like, but I remember somebody who's not here anymore, so I'm not going to say who it was. If they were here, I'd embarrass them. But they said that one time they were working on the road where there's a real big dip down. She just had this urge to, like, she just wanted to drive down it. And, like, it didn't make any sense. Like, why would I even think that? But she just thought it. Sometimes we think things that are not rational. They make no sense. But there's a lot of times where we do something that we consider small, and we compare that to someone else, and what they do is big. Like, that's not really a big deal, what I did. What they did is big. I'm obviously better than them. No, sin is sin. God doesn't care. He doesn't see a difference in sin. What he sees is a sinner saved by grace through faith or somebody who is not. That's it. There's like, I mean, it's as black and white as you can go. There's a distinct line. You're a sinner saved by grace or you're a sinner that's not saved. And that's it. So we don't look at it as we're better than other people. We have to affect the people that are outside the walls of this church. And we can do this. We can do this. I have a really simple way that we can impact the world. Are you ready for it? It's profound. It's kind of like that time when I shared about how long eternity was. Like, it's a really long time. It's kind of profound like that. We can impact this world by being like Jesus. You ever thought of that before? You probably have. But have you done it? Now that's the thing. That's thinking. That's having resolve, like, I'm going to be like Jesus. And then having resolve with the vision that if I am like Jesus, I can see the lives of people around me changed. Okay? It doesn't matter how much resolve you have if you don't have the vision of what's going to be accomplished by you being like Christ. Listen, I don't try to be like Christ so that I can be better than anyone else. And if that's your purpose and that's your reasoning, then you need to pray about that. We don't do it so that we can be better than someone. We do it so that we can impact people's lives and see them changed. It's not judgment. We don't have the right to judge. I'm not going to get into all that, okay? But we don't have the right to judge people as though I'm better than you because I don't do that and you do, which is what people usually want to do. We are to act, to walk as an example, an ambassador for Christ. An ambassador for the United States that's in, you know, Iraq is a representation of the United States. It's not someone who just has a United States flag and then really they're wearing like an Iraqi military uniform, okay? You know, that's how a lot of us are. We're walking around the world and it's like, I got my Bible, I got my I Love Jesus t-shirt, and aside from that, we don't look anything like it, okay? We're supposed to be an ambassador, an exact representation. We're supposed to walk in the same authority. We're supposed to have the same values, the same principles, not similar, the same. That's how we see the world impacted and affected. We cannot compromise when we don't feel like it, when we don't feel like standing for righteousness. 1 Peter 1:16, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. This isn't as hard as people make it out to be. It's really, really, really not. To be holy in this context right here implies to be set apart, to be different, distinct, to be other, not to be like everybody else. Not to be like everybody else. This is where the church should be impacting the world, because we're not to be like everybody else, but we're to be only like one. Jesus. Again, like Jesus. One way or another, we are influencing those that are around us. One way or another. So it's up to you today. You want to influence them in the ways of the world, influence them in the ways that don't matter, or do we want to influence them in the ways of the kingdom? Do I want to influence them by being this example to lead them closer, draw them closer to Christ? And so I shared this, I think, last year, but you know, most of you can do this right here, can make a major step in your lives today by simply adjusting one thing. Who remembers it from last year? I did share this point. Adjusting our Facebook habits. I'm serious. You can make a difference in the world by adjusting your Facebook habits. I truly, truly, truly believe that. Because there's people, some of you maybe in this very room, that sometimes I've been very disappointed in what I've seen. Very disappointed. And some of you I've spoken to about it. But what we post on Facebook, okay, when we post things about Jesus, we post scriptures, we share a message, and you know, certainly we want you guys doing that. But when you do that and then you follow it up with some kind of political agenda, some kind of argument, opinion about something that doesn't matter, oftentimes getting pretty nasty or embarrassing someone else. Okay, joking around is joking around. But when we get to the point where we're picking on somebody or embarrassing somebody on Facebook, okay, you're not being an example of Christ. Where's one time that you see Jesus making fun of somebody, teasing somebody, cutting them down, tearing them down? Okay, we're to be encouragers, not mockers, not scoffers. We're to be encouragers. That's the kind of things that we ought to be doing. And guess what? If you're doing one day and one the other day, then you're like the Iraqi militant holding the U.S. flag. You don't know what you are. Okay? I'm serious. We don't know what we are when we're in that state. We're to be that exact representation of Christ inside and out. Doesn't mean that we're perfect, but it sure as heck means that we ought to be making an attempt to be perfect. Right? There's a difference there. We will not reach that point of perfect sanctification until the day that Jesus Christ comes and takes us back. But it doesn't mean that we don't try to be. Again, not in a condescending way that I'm better than you, but try to be like Christ. That's our goal. And so we try to accomplish this thing by reaching people, by sharing people. Listen, we don't have to organize an evangelistic outreach that we go knock door to door. I'm not against that by any means. If somebody wants to head that up, I'm all for it. But we can do evangelism each and every day. I've heard from Jason and TJ about what it's like at the gas plant. I've heard about them, how they are always able to share things with people. Sometimes it's with one another, believers, but that's encouraging. That's the part we just read about discipling each other and equipping. But they also get to breathe life into bad situations out there. I've heard Ben talk about, you know, stuff at FedEx before. And I've heard many of you guys talk about ways that you're able to share Jesus with people that are in need. Guess what that is? It's evangelism. Evangelism doesn't have to be knocking door to door. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. We're supposed to share that love of Christ everywhere we go. We do this also by supporting the local ministries, the food pantry and the Ministerial Alliance nationally. Last year, we had a few people go to New York and share the love of Christ and share the truth of the gospel with people. And it was an awesome time. Internationally, we have Fabian and Carol in Iraq, Jeff and Marianne in Israel, Adam and Kate in China. And then this summer, we're going to Costa Rica. Okay, so again, if anybody's interested in that, get a hold of me. It'll be the last week of July into August. But we're going to go to Costa Rica, and we're planning to make an impact when we go there. Listen, I'm not going for a tropical vacation. I don't know what the weather is going to be like. I just went to Florida to visit our in-laws, or my in-laws, but me and Christy and the kids went down there. And guess what? Most of you guys are like, oh, man, you got to go to Florida. It rained for 3 days. I was there for 3 days, all right? Yes, I did get in the swimming pool because it was 60 degrees outside, but the swimming pool was heated to 82. So we got a little swimming in. But guess what? I didn't go there because of the destination was desirable. I went there on a mission to visit family. And when I go to Costa Rica, and those of you that go with me, we're going there to advance the kingdom of God. I don't care what the weather's like. Sure, it'd be nice if it's tropical, if it's great, if it's desirable. But if it rains and pours the whole time, I don't care. I'm going outside and getting wet. Okay, so we're going to go. We're going to expect to advance the kingdom of God in that area. So this is the vision of the church. This is the vision of Freedom Reigns in Christ Church. And we as a church, we have to have this resolve to see that accomplished. Now sharing all this, my hope is that it helps you to see why we do the things that we do. Okay, each and everything we do should have a purpose. Okay, if it doesn't, then we really have a problem. But everything that we do here should be helping us to fulfill the vision, which helps us to fulfill the mission of making disciples. But everything we do should be fulfilling the vision. But before a vision works, we have to have the vision. But before it will work, we have to have the resolve to actually see it accomplished. We have to see it through. It doesn't matter to have a vision that one of these days, I'm going to fit into those jeans again. And you just look at them every day. Oh, yeah, there's going to be a day I'm going to get into those things. By the time you get into them, they might be out of style. You still got those stonewashed jeans sitting on the stool you're waiting to fit in? I hope not. Are those in style? You guys are from Dallas. Is there, like, you never know down there. Anything's in style there. Okay, well, if you're just looking at them thinking one day I'm going to fit into them, guess what? Vision alone is not enough. You have to have resolve to carry out the mission, to carry out the steps that get you to the vision. If you have this vision of one day I'm going to retire and I'm going to have hundreds of thousands of dollars in a retirement fund and I'm going to buy a spot out here next to the church and we're going to, you know, build a learning center or something, you know, that's all fine and dandy, but you better be putting money in the retirement fund. It's not just going to magically appear. That's not what God means when he says that he'll provide for his children. He doesn't provide out of ignorance and stupidity. He gives us wisdom. He gives us vision so that we can do the steps to see it fulfilled. It takes action on our part. So you have to help this church fulfill the vision, which fulfills the mission of making disciples for God's glory and for his kingdom. And so with, again, without vision, people perish. Without vision, resolve perishes. We have to hear from the Lord. We have to hear from the Lord. And, you know, don't let that be an excuse to do this, though. Don't let it be an excuse for, well, I haven't heard from the Lord yet, so I'm going to do nothing. Okay. Listen, I've been there, and I know people in this very church that have been there, and maybe some that still are. If you're waiting for the Lord to speak to you to do something, that's not a bad thing. Waiting on the Lord is an excellent thing, and I've heard it said before, the only thing worse than waiting on the Lord is wishing that you had. Okay, so you definitely want to wait on the Lord. You want his vision, his direction, but that's not an excuse to sit on your hands and do nothing in the meantime, because he's given us vision and he's given us direction in the Word of God. Okay, it may not be the specific vision and direction that you're hoping for, some big picture thing down the road. Listen, me and Christy thought up until about a year and a half ago, a little bit more, we thought that in about 5 to 10 years, we were going to be selling everything and going into mission field. Like we were going to end up in some other country. We were sure that was the vision. Now, God had never spoke that to us. It's just like a feeling we both had. But in the meantime, I wasn't sitting around doing nothing. I was serving in the church. I was doing whatever I could do to serve here. I was witnessing to people at work. And listen, this is not to tell you how great I am, because I've probably failed already today in something, I'm sure. But the point is, I wasn't waiting for, well, in 5 to 10 years, I'm going to really start doing something for the Lord. That's stupid. He's given us vision. He's given us the word of God that shows us what we're to be doing. All these things that we've talked about today. Look at your life and consider, what can I be doing to serve God right now? Because I'm sure that he wants us to do something right now, not just sitting and waiting for this big vision. Because God, he gives us this vision of his word so that we can be his hands and feet. So that we can be moving in power right now to affect this world, not just so that we can one day have this great thing that we do. It's kind of like being trusted with little, right? You're faithful with little, and then you be given more, okay? Do things for the Lord right now. So today, I want everybody to consider, look at how can we serve the Lord by using our gifts and talents as part of the body in this church, in our workplace, in our homes. What can we be doing? And pray for God to give us vision. Dylan, if you want to come pick around on the guitar. But what can I be doing to fulfill this vision that God has for me? And so today I want everybody to consider, you know, is there something you can be doing in the church? Is there, can you sign up to clean? Should you help with youth on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? And again, these things are not for everybody, but I do believe everybody should be doing something for God. Okay, I'm not even saying everybody has to do something for this church right now, but everybody ought to be doing something for God right now. Should you go on the mission trip to Costa Rica or help provide a way for someone else to go? Are you praying for a revival, praying for the lost to be saved? Maybe you need to start attending prayer meetings from time to time. Have you been sitting in the pew during altar calls, knowing that you should have been getting prayer, letting pride get in the way? Listen, that can be stopping you from fulfilling the vision that God has for you. It goes all the way back towards the beginning of the vision, being a hospital for the hurting, brokenhearted. You may not even realize, but maybe you need to receive something in your life so that you can be able to move on and do something else. Are we making disciples? The most important of all this, are we making disciples? Are we making better disciples of those around us? I'll tell you, like, Advent time this last month was one of the greatest things of my life. Sitting down with my family and just reading. We have this stupid book. It's like A, B, C. Each day it's got like the letter A and something from the birth of Christ that begins with that letter. It's like a little kid's book, but we've been doing it for years, so we continue to do so. We do that, and then we actually look at the Word of God and look at something about the birth of Christ, or something that's come from the birth of Christ, which would be pretty much everything else. But we looked at that stuff, and, you know, to me at first it was kind of like, well, this is pretty cool. And then it hit me one day that right now you're making disciples. How many of you view your own homes like that? You're making disciples. If you give your kids wisdom, you're making disciples. If you read the Word of God, you're making disciples. If you pray together, you're making disciples. And it doesn't even have to be with your kids. It could be with your spouse. It could be with your mom and your dad. How many of us are making disciples? And then, as a result of all this that I've shared today, how many of us feel like maybe we're defeated in our own life? Like, I failed over and over and over. I keep making resolutions, not just New Year's resolutions, but I keep making resolutions. I got resolve. I'm going to do this. 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 And I fail again and again. And what you need is vision. What you need is vision of, what am I trying to accomplish? Vision leads to victory. Absolutely. Vision leads to victory. So if you want victory, you need vision. And so I want to, right now, I want to pray and ask God. He says, pray and I will answer. and I will show you these wonderful, marvelous things that you do not know. So if you guys would stand with me in this place, I want to pray specifically for vision for each and every person here. And I want to pray that God will do this. I believe God's faithful to his word. And I believe if you pray with me and you ask God to show you, I believe that he will. I absolutely believe that he will. So if you would, if you desire this, if you need vision in your life, if you want to know God's will for your life, what you're to do, I want you to pray with me. But I'm going to pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your promises. And God, you say that if we will call out to you, that you will answer. But as a God who does abundantly more than we could ever ask and hope for, you don't just answer, but God, that you say that you will tell us marvelous things, wonderful things, and that there'll be things that we do not know. I pray right now for every person in this place, Lord, every person that has faith that you will answer, faith that you stand on your promises. Lord, I pray right now that we receive vision. God, that you would tell us things that are marvelous. Tell us things that are wonderful. Not things that we want to hear, but God, tell us those things that we do not know. God, give us vision. Give us direction and purpose in life. Lord, I pray that we don't walk around in defeat any longer. That today be the day of victory. Lord, I pray right now today that you impart victory and your saints in this place, Lord. Help us to grasp that, to understand what victory really is, Lord. Let it not be something we sing about. Let it be something that's a part of our lives. Lord, my favorite hymn, Victory in Jesus. Lord, I think it's my favorite because, God, it's the thing I desire so much. I desire victory in Jesus. When I have victory in Jesus, it means that I've overcome the world. When I've overcome the world, it means I'm in right standing with you. It means I have a relationship with you. It means that you're at the top of the list, not a ball game, not a video game, not even a spouse or a child. But God, you are supposed to be at the top. And victory in Jesus means that we've overcome all these things, all these obstacles, all these circumstances that get in the way. I pray right now, Lord, for a victorious group of people right here, that you would raise up an end time army in this house, in Freedom Reigns in Christ Church, people that are filled with your spirit. And I just pray right now for a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit, Lord, so that we could be what you desire for us to be, bold witnesses of the gospel. Lord, help us to be that bold witness. Help us not to shrink back, Lord, when we're confronted or even when we're presented with an opportunity to share. Lord, help us not to shrink back as Peter did before he received the Spirit. Help us to be like the Peter after he received the Spirit, that preached with boldness, that saw the masses saved and come to faith in you. God, use us to be those people, Lord. God, let us not walk around one more day without purpose on this earth. Let us not walk around one more day without a vision for what you've called us to do. Those who are waiting on a big vision, that know that there's something big around the corner, Lord, I pray that you continue to burn that desire to see that vision. But at the very same time, Lord, that you help them not to overlook the vision of what you currently have designed for them to do in their lives. Help each and every one of us to be more like you, to be that ambassador for Christ. Lord, as people see us, I want it to be just like when the Father sees me, he sees you, Jesus. I want it to be when people on this earth see us, that they see you, Jesus. That's the way that it's supposed to be. That's the way that you desire. Help us to do that, Lord. God, and when we fall short, when the enemy creeps in, we pray right now, Lord, that we'll remember the victory in Jesus. We'll remember that shed blood that we remembered earlier. That we'll be a victorious, overcoming people because we are the children of God. We are joint heirs of the throne, seated in heavenly places, even though we're here on this lousy earth. Lord, we just long for that day when you return for us. Lord, we long for that day when it says that we'll see the see you coming across the sky and the clouds, Lord, that it's going to be undeniable. It's not going to be secret. It's not some people are going to know and some people are not. There's no such thing as a secret rapture, but there's going to be a trumpet blared from heaven and all the earth is going to see and know that you're returning on those clouds, and those who are apart from you are going to be weeping and mourning, wishing that they had grasped your gospel. And I just pray right now, Lord, that you just impart that hope in each and every one of us, that hope of your coming, your return for us. We thank you, Jesus, that you are great, that you are wonderful, that you are mighty. We thank you, Lord, that you love us. Just pray that this week, Lord, that God, we'd have opportunities to share that love with others, to extend that same grace you extended to us with those that are around us. Use us this week. We just pray, Lord, that most of all, that we would know you more day by day, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you every single day, every single hour. Let us not depart from you, Lord. Don't depart from us. We just pray that you continue with us, leading us and prompting us by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.